Well, the African impala can jump to a height of over 10 feet. He can go 10 feet in the air. Check out this picture. He can also go 30 feet long, like his distance, 10 feet high, 30-foot jump in length. Yet these magnificent creatures can be kept in a zoo with only a 3-foot wall. 3-foot wall. Why is that? Because here's how it works. Animals won't jump if they can't see where their feet are going to fall. And so a 3-foot wall can keep in a magnificent creature like this contained. You see, faith. Faith is the ability to trust what we cannot see. And by faith, when we walk by faith, we are freed from the flimsy enclosures of life that entrap us and that hold us back. Faith is what we need to jump out of the enclosures that the enemy has us in, and faith is what we need to jump into the big things that God has in store for us. It's all by faith. And I want to just declare even right now, I'm speaking this over my church family. I've been speaking it over myself week in and week out as I go to God's word and he leads me through faith, that we will not be a people who are held back. We're not going to be those people who are scared to jump when God says jump. Because we know that when he says jump, he's got us. We're not going to be those people who live with fear and live with regret. But instead, we're going to be those people who walk by faith and live fearlessly, that have no regret. We're going to be those people who allow God's word to fill us, to change us, and to empower us so that we'll be those people who actually live outside of that bubble that we talked about several weeks ago. Not trapped into the confines that conventional wisdom and this society and our past has us in, but we're going to break out of that bubble and we're going to live in the big world that God has for us to go and change. We're going to allow God to continue to equip us so that we don't just talk the talk. I don't want to be a Christian who just talks the talk. So he's equipping us so that we can actually walk the walk by faith. So today we're going to continue our series that's simply titled, By Faith, as we journey through Hebrews chapter 11. Now we've already encountered faith. We've encountered the simplicity of faith when we looked at the life of Abel. Remember that 2 weeks ago? And Abel taught us that faith is simple because faith simply agrees with God. And then faith receives from God. And when we agree with God and receive from God, we find that we have a faith that actually will touch the generations and echo throughout eternity. And then last week, we looked at the life of Enoch. And Enoch introduced us to some special sauce, right? His special sauce of faith. And again, keeping it simple, faith is walking with God. Faith is pleasing God. And faith is chasing after God. Again, faith is simple. And God's word shows us exactly what it looks like to walk by faith, to live by faith. Well, this week, we're going to let a guy named Noah teach us a little bit about faith. So I want you to open up again to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to be in verse 7. We're back to one verse. We're only going to get through one verse today. Hebrews 11, verse 7. God's word says this. You know what? Before I do that, the Lord prompted me, and I just saw it in my notes here. He prompted me that we need to do something together, and I believe it's powerful. When we agree with God and receive from him, that's when faith really comes alive, right? Abel taught us that. So I want us to agree with God, and we're going to open up our mouths together and declare something to agree with God. Let's put that on the screen. We're going to say this together, if you're willing, if you mean it. You ready to go? All together now. Lord, teach me to live by faith. Amen? Do we want that? Then let's say it again like we really mean it. You didn't do a bad job the first time, but we're going to go back for more. Let's say it like we mean it. Let's speak it out. You ready? Lord, teach me to live by faith. Amen. Hebrews 11:7. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, he built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. And so, what does faith look like? According to the life of Noah, faith responds to God. That's the title of today's message, the main thing that we got to grab today from God's word. Faith responds to God. God warned Noah about things not yet seen. God told Noah to jump into something new and unfamiliar. And this is what I was taught back in the day, like 30 years ago. This is how it went with Noah. The Lord said to Noah, there's going to be a floody. The Lord said to Noah, there's going to be a floody. Get those children out of the muddy, children of the Lord. The kids in the room are looking at me like, what is wrong with that guy? Well, that's what it sounded like. That was the jam from back in the day. VBS, 30 years ago, floody, muddy, children of the Lord. Come on, good stuff. So the life of Noah. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 6. It's great how God's word has us backing up every single week. We start in Hebrews 11, and then it's, you know, beep. He backs us up to Genesis. And we're in Genesis chapter 6, beginning in verse 9. Genesis 6, beginning in verse 9. This is the account of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. Again, Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. Does that sound familiar? Didn't we learn that last week? We walk with God. Enoch taught us that we walk with God. Noah understood it. He probably watched the life of Enoch. And he's like, I get it. I see what's going on. So Noah, a righteous man, got on board and he walked with God. Now it says in verse 10 that Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. It says, and now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I'm going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark. Now, that's a big boat. That's like a ship. So God says to Noah, make yourself a big boat of cypress wood, make rooms in it, and coat it with pitch inside and out. So Noah, a righteous man walking with God, is probably going, What? Did I get that right? Is that really you, God, or is that the pizza I ate last night? And I'm figuring a man who walked with God even back in the day had pizza. So anyway, it's good stuff. It's like the universal food of the world, pizza. But Noah's hearing God. He's listening to God. He's hearing this thing about a flood. He's hearing this thing about building a boat. And he's got to be going, what? But he knows the voice of the Lord. And so he knows that's God talking to him. See, before Noah's day, there was never such thing as a flood. The atmosphere was different back then. It didn't even rain back then. It was all different. That's why people were living 900 plus years like we talked about last week, right? Totally different atmosphere. And now God is talking to Noah about something that had never happened. A flood and rain and torrential downpour and hurricane-like weather, all this kind of stuff. And then he tells him to build a boat? A what? A boat. So Noah was hearing from the Lord something that was unprecedented, something that was new, something that was strange and unseen. And so that brings us back to faith, doesn't it? Hebrews 11, Verse 1, what is faith? It's being certain of what we do not see. And so now Noah's in a position where he's hearing the voice of the Lord, and he has a choice. Am I going to walk by faith and believe what God is saying about this thing I've never heard of and I've never seen before? And Noah's life, as we're going to look at it right now, reminds us that faith responds to the words of the unseen God regarding events that have not yet been seen. That's faith. Noah's faith starts with this. Starts with listening. That's the first key we're going to learn about faith from the life of Noah. Faith listens to God. Write that down. It's important. Still simple though, isn't it? Faith listens to God. Let's go back to verse 13. It says, so God said to Noah. God spoke to Noah. And Noah apparently had ears to hear the voice of the Lord. And he was walking with God in a way that he was positioned to listen to the voice of the Lord. In fact, what we see in Scripture is Noah was the one person walking on the earth at that time that actually had ears to hear what the Lord was saying. The only dude, the only guy, the only person walking at that time that actually had ears to listen to what God was saying. The only one who had positioned himself to walk with God and to hear his voice. And it's this listening to God that we find as Noah's first key to faith. It's the same for us today, by the way. Jesus reminds us of that. When you look in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus says, my sheep listen to my voice. Do you hear that? My sheep. How many of you are his sheep? You see, even raise your loud and proud up high. I'm his sheep, man. That's all I am, and I need a shepherd. And his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. And I'm his sheep, so what do? I am desperate to hear his voice, so I listen to his voice. And he says, Jesus says, they listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. It's the same for us today. Faith listens to God. So if faith listens to God, and if God is speaking to us, his sheep, his people, how's he speaking to us? Let's talk about that. How does God speak to us today? The first place that we know God speaks to us is right here through his word, the Bible. This right here, and just grab it. Grab hold of your Bible and look at it right now, because what you're looking at, what you have in your hands right now is the voice of the Lord for you today. Right here. This is his voice, loud and clear. Black and white and red in the Gospels, right? The name of Jesus, if you have a red letter version, right? This is the voice of the Lord for us today. God speaking to us. Leading us, guiding us. This is his logos. It's called his logos, his written word to us. And those of us who have ears to hear are going to be in the word of God. So he speaks to us through his word. Do you want to hear what God is saying? Do you want to walk like Noah? Do you want to be the person on this earth that is actually able to hear what God is saying, to know what's on his heart, to know what his plans and his purposes are? Then you're going to be a person who's in his word. His word doesn't return void. It's loud and it's clear to us. Oh, but sometimes it's hard to understand exactly. That's why we got to press into him. So it's not about us and our intellect and how smart we are. It's about us positioning ourselves just to sit and hear what God is saying. You want to hear? You want to listen? Get in the word. Another place that God speaks to us is through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So through his word, the logos, but also through the rhema word that comes from the Holy Spirit, who is speaking to us, the people of God, today. it says, actually, Jesus said again in the Gospel of John, chapter 16, beginning of verse 13, Jesus said, but when he, the Spirit of truth, he's talking about the Holy Spirit, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, what will he do? The Holy Spirit will guide us, you, me, the people of God, into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak, who's speaking? To the people of God, the Holy Spirit. He will speak only what he hears, and he will do something pretty amazing for us. He will tell you what is yet to come. So God is speaking. God is speaking. I want you to even just look around. Tell your neighbor, tell your spouse, tell somebody, God is speaking. He's speaking. Through his word, the Holy Spirit, through the Rhema word even, is speaking and guiding us, the people of God, even today. It was said, Jake, thank you for sharing it and reminding us, God is the same today. He's the same today. The way he was with Noah back in Genesis, way back in the day, speaking to him. The way that Jesus is speaking to us. As Jesus declared it when he walked on this earth, it's the same today. God is speaking to us. The Holy Spirit is speaking to the people of God. God is speaking. So his word, the Bible, he's speaking through that Rhema word of the Holy Spirit guiding us. God is also speaking through this tool that he's given us, this way of communicating with him called prayer. I had one of our prayer ministers up here, D. Brown, talking about prayer. God has given us prayer as a gift, as a tool for us to be able to hear his voice, for us to be able to listen to him. Because what is prayer? It's spending time with the living God and listening. I'm going to tell you right now, that's the key to prayer. It's the listening. I know we feel all this pressure that prayer is all about what I say. It's all about having the right words to say, saying it just in the right way so that somehow God will bless me and do this thing for me. If I just pray it the way the pastor prays it, the way that other person who gets up in front of that microphone every week, my goodness, if I could just say it or pray it that way, then God will jump through the hoop I need him to jump through. That's not what prayer is all about. He gives us the opportunity to talk to him and to lay our cares and our needs at his feet. But the essence of prayer, the most important ingredient of prayer, is the listening. It's the listening. The listening. Call to me. Jeremiah 33, verse 3 says, call to me, pray, call to me. And God says, and I will answer you. All we got to do is, God! That's what it looks like to call to him. God! Oh, Lord, I was in the backyard this morning doing that. Literally, my neighbors think I'm crazy. I'm going to talk about that in just a little bit, too. God, I was just calling to him, God. And that's all I said, and I just shut up, and I started to listen. Because what I needed right there was to hear what God was saying. I needed him to talk to me. I didn't need to hear what I had, because I didn't have it this morning. I needed to hear from the living God. And so I continued to pray. I listened. A theologian by the name of Thomas Merton says, just remaining quietly in the presence of God, listening to him, being attentive to him, requires a lot of courage and know-how. Sometimes the hardest thing we can do is listen. Men, you know about that, right? Sometimes the hardest thing we do that blesses our wives is when we just shut up and listen. It can be hard to listen, but it's so powerful and so necessary if we're going to be those people who walk by faith. Being quiet, shutting up. And so how do we listen to God like Noah? Through his word, by listening to the Rhema word of the Holy Spirit, what he is saying to us and how he's guiding us, and by using this amazing tool called prayer, where we cry out, call out, and then listen. But God speaks to us in so many other ways. I just want to touch on a few of the other ways that God speaks to us. He speaks to us through dreams and visions. Yeah, that gets a little crazy and mysterious, right? Well, why do you think God created us to dream? And I know sometimes the enemy gets in there because we give him access throughout the day through our eye gate and our ear gate and all this kind of stuff. And he gets access and we have dreams that we wake up and we're ashamed of and we wish we never had. I get it, okay? But we have the ability to dream. Ultimately, I contend to be able to listen to God. Another way for us to be able to receive from the living God through dreams and visions, God speaking to us, opening up our minds, opening up our hearts greater and greater to Him. God speaks to us through prophecy that we hear even here on Sunday mornings, on Wednesday night, and other gatherings that we get together, through words of knowledge like Jim Berry brought this morning, highlighting that kidney issue and people receiving from the Lord. God speaks to us through one another. He speaks to us through song. How many of you receive from the Lord through song, through worship? You hear Him. You encounter Him. God has given us that because He's speaking and He wants us to listen and hear. How about the beauty of His creation? You ever just look out the window at a sunset? You encounter God, and truth starts to fill your mind and your heart about God. You are big, and you are good, and you're grand, and you're beautiful. God is speaking, church. God is speaking. So are we living by faith? Have we positioned ourselves to listen to what God is saying? Have we positioned ourselves to hear the voice of God? Are we giving ourselves? Are we giving our time? Are we giving our attention to listening to the voice of God? That's what it looks like to walk by faith. The life of Noah reminds us, faith listens to God. But the life of Noah even goes further. And shows us that if we're those people who actually listen to God and we have ears for Him and we start hearing the things of heaven, the things that He's speaking and revealing to us, then we're those people walking by faith who now respond to what God is saying. Because you see, faith that listens to God then becomes faith that responds to God. And that's the second key to Noah's faith. He listened, but then he responded to God. It says in Hebrews 11:7, by faith, when warned about things not yet to come, when he heard what God was saying was about to happen, he did something, didn't he? In holy fear, he built an ark to save his family. Genesis 6:22 said, Noah did everything. He did everything just as God commanded him. So Noah listened, he heard, and then he did. God said it, Noah did it. And he did it day in and day out for 100 years. Over 100 years, he continued to respond to the word of God, what God had spoken to him. Persisting, jumping into the unknown, day in and day out, because God said so. Could you imagine this? Build this boat. It's going to rain. Okay, I don't know what rain is, I don't know what a flood is, and I don't know what a boat is, but God is clear, just like we don't always know what it looks like to walk with God, but God tells us how to do it. So Noah's like, okay, God's shown me how to do it. He's given me the plans to do it, all that I need to do it. And so he just starts doing it. The next morning he wakes up and he starts responding to the word of the Lord. He starts doing what God told him to do. Can you imagine 95 years later, day in and day out, waking up, building this thing called an ark, a boat, not seeing rain yet, not seeing anything happen. I mean, laboring, hitting your thumb with the hammer, you know. I mean, goodness gracious, the guy just keeps going and going and going because that's what faith looks like. God said it. I'm going to do it today. I'm going to do it tomorrow. I'm going to keep going and going and going. Sounds like the Energizer Bunny, doesn't it? Keep going and going and going. I know you've heard this before. Winners never quit, and quitters never win. That's what Vince Lombardi would teach his players. That whole principle that you won't win if you quit too soon. So don't quit. I think Noah must have played football for Vince Lombardi somehow, some way, because Noah understood that principle of faith. And he didn't quit. Over 100 years continuing to respond to God, being made fun of. What are you doing, Noah? You're wasting your time. You're a crazy man. His back, it had to hurt. I mean, the guy was 900 years old, you know what I'm saying, doing this kind of labor. But he didn't quit. He didn't quit. He kept responding to God. He devoted his whole life to doing what God had spoken. And he was richly rewarded. So I want to ask you something that I was asking myself this week. Have you quit? Have you quit? Has God said something and you pursued it for a while, but you know what? That was years ago, and by golly, I guess I quit. I quit believing. I quit praying for it. I quit planning for it. I just quit. Quit believing that my kids are going to come back to the Lord. It's been over a dozen years. Quit believing for that healing, for that change of circumstance in my life. I've just kind of, yeah, that's right. I used to pray for that. I used to believe for that, but I guess that's not really on my mind and my heart anymore. Have you quit? The Lord would say, don't walk away. Don't walk away. If you don't quit, you will win. I said it. Keep going. Keep doing it. Keep pressing into it. Keep trusting me. Keep believing. Keep walking by faith, and you will win. But Pastor, sometimes God calls me to do strange things. Things that my neighbor are going to think I'm crazy to do. And I say, I know I've been there and I've done that. Those of you who've been around me for a while, sometimes I say crazy things. Sometimes I do crazy things. I get it. Sometimes God will call us to do strange and crazy things. Do it. And trust Him. But Pastor, sometimes God calls me to do scary things. Things that I've never done before. Things that are even dangerous, that are really out there, that are dangerous. And I want to say, I know. I've been there and I've done that. When God called me into ministry, I was doing great in business, had everything covered financially. He said, you've got to change things up because I'm about to change your life. You got to sell the cabin. You got to sell the toys because everything's about to change. I'm calling you in ministry full time. That was scary. If I would have walked by fear, I never would have taken that leap. That little 3-foot wall of finances and stuff, that's a little 3-foot wall for the Lord, right? It could have kept me back if I didn't trust God that I was going to land with Him in His plans, right? I took the whole family to Africa for a month. The kids were younger. 2 of our boys, massively deadly peanut allergies. In a country that really doesn't have any way of handling that, of protecting people from that. I know it was kind of crazy. We counted the cost. We thought about that. And taking a little 4-year-old with us, I mean, no running water out in the bush. No amenities. Yeah, it was scary. But we knew that God had called us to do that. So we jumped. We took the leap. We did it. And God used it in powerful ways in our lives. Big ways in our lives. But Pastor, sometimes God calls me to like share words with people. He like says, I've got this word for this person, or I just feel compelled to share the gospel with somebody at work. Uh-oh. Maybe my boss. Now that's crazy. I know. I've been there. I've done that. God puts me in positions sometimes at the state capitol, or sitting across the table from a congressman, and he says, you need to share this with him right now. You need to speak this into and over his life right now. Yeah, God's going to call you to say some things that might have you a little on edge. But go for it. Prophetic words, prayers. Pastor, sometimes God calls me to do hard things. And all I want to say about that is, yes, He does. Isn't it exciting that He would trust you with hard things? Because He knows it's not you who's going to fulfill them. He's the one who takes care of the details. He does the heavy lifting, right? You're just the willing vessel. He's going to call you to do hard things, big things, beautiful. Pastor, sometimes I feel, though, like God has forgotten me. And maybe you've been there. You don't have to raise your hand. But sometimes it feels like, but does God remember what He said? Is He going to really do it? Numbers 23:19 reminds us of this, that God is not a man. It's not a man. So He does not lie. He is not human, so He does not change His mind. Has He ever spoken and failed to act? Has He ever promised and not carried through? The answer is no, He's never failed. He's never failed. He is trustworthy and He is faithful. So how are we going to respond when God speaks? How are you going to respond when He speaks? The world should be able to look at our lives, how we spend our time, our money. They ought to be able to say, like they said about Noah, this guy Eric, he's a nutcase, man. This guy Eric, he's a loose cannon. Man, this guy Eric, you never know what he's going to say. But for some reason, I like being around that guy. I mean, he's crazy. He says some kind of controversial things sometimes. He lives in such a way that he just thinks differently. He even looks a little different. He acts differently. He talks differently. Spends his time differently. He's odd. He's peculiar. And that's not a bad thing. That's actually what people should say about you and me. That we're odd, we're out of the box, we're peculiar and a little dangerous to be around sometimes. Because you know what? It's a little dangerous to be around God sometimes. And so it should be a little dangerous to be around the people of God sometimes. I'm not saying in a bad way, but in a good kingdom of God coming kind of way, transforming people's lives, bringing His glory kind of way, right? It should be a little dangerous. God's word says this in 1 Peter 2, verse 9. It says that, but you are a chosen people. Just know that right now. You're a chosen person, a royal priesthood. Now that should be a mind blower to you. You, who've been redeemed, who've been made new. You're a royal priesthood. But check this out. It goes further. You're a people belonging to God, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. The King James Version says about that, that you're a peculiar people. And I like that. I like being a little strange, a little peculiar. You are a peculiar people that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. We got to be a little different if we're going to be doing the things of kingdom, calling the world out of darkness into the marvelous light of Christ Jesus. We got to look like God. We got to talk like God. We got to think like God. And that's different than what the world's used to seeing. But it's everything that the world truly in their inner man is desiring and wanting. They're wanting God. They're wanting the different. They're wanting the strange and the peculiar, powerful, scary, hard, amazing move of God. They want to see it and they want to encounter it. They do. And we're the ones who bring it to them in that way. So you're crazy. I'm going to tell you right now. You're crazy. And that's a good thing. I like doing life with crazy people because I like seeing the big things of God. And let me tell you this, not responding to God, I mean, hearing what He's saying, but then kind of going, I don't know if I really want to do it. Not responding to His warnings, to His callings can be a dangerous thing. I read this story this week. It took place back in the Revolutionary War. There was a loyalist spy that he appeared at the headquarters of the Haitian commander, Colonel Johann Rall, and he was carrying an urgent message. It was all about George Washington and his Continental Army. They'd secretly crossed the Delaware River that morning. They were advancing on Trenton, New Jersey, where the Haitians were encamped. But here's what happened. The spy was denied an audience with his commander, his Haitian commander. Instead, he decided he'd write the message on a piece of paper, and at least that would be delivered to the commander. A porter took the note in hand, took it to the Haitian colonel, but because the Colonel Rawl, he was involved in a poker game, he stuffed the unread message into his pocket. He received the message, but he didn't read it. He kind of tucked it away, right? When the guards at the Haitian camp began firing their muskets, trying to stop Washington's army, Rawl was still playing cards. They didn't have time at that point to organize. They didn't have time to respond. And what was the result? It was the first significant win that the Continental Army had. It was a huge game changer in the entire Revolutionary War. There was a warning. There was a word that this guy needed, but he ignored it. And he didn't take action. And because of it, he found defeat instead of remaining protected. So are we living by faith? Are we responding to the word of the Lord? Are we responding to his warnings? Have we gone from listening to actually taking action? Have we gone from listening to doing? Have we gone from listening to building? Have we gone from listening to sharing and going? Are we taking action? Are we responding to the word of the Lord? So Noah reminds us, faith listens, faith then responds to God. And here's the cool thing, that when we just adopt this simple faith of listening and responding, that we'll find that we have a faith that is protected by God. That's the third thing we learn about faith from Noah, that faith is protected by God. In 2 Peter 2:5, it speaks of God doing this. He did not spare the ancient world when he brought the flood on its ungodly people, but he did this. He protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and seven others. We're going to get to that in just a moment. Noah, a man of faith who listened, who responded over 100 years, responding to God, trusting him. He was protected. And I bet you everyone in the room is going, you know what? I want that kind of blessing. I want that kind of blessing that Noah had. I want the blessing of being protected. Every parent in here is thinking, I want my children to have that blessing. I want my children to be protected. Protected by the Lord. Walking in the blessings of God. Enjoying God. We want that. I want God to rescue me like he rescued Noah. I want God to rescue me and my family from drowning. Because here's the deal. The floods are going to come. Just like the flood came for Noah and his family. The floods of life are going to come because we live in the world. We're not of it, but we're in it. And this world is full of, as we saw, literal hurricanes and floods, but all kinds that come at us day in and day out. So the floods are going to come. But we can be those who are protected by those floods because we're listening and we're responding to the living God. Protected, amen. Protected, delivered, and saved. Sowing and reaping. That's what it looks like. But I want us to take notice of another incredible reality as we close here. And that is this, that Noah wasn't the only one who was saved. Just read about it in Peter, right? There were seven other people who were saved. But wait, Noah was the only righteous person. Noah was the only person that could hear the voice of the Lord. Noah was the only one. What happened? Why did his whole family get saved? Why were they allowed on the ark? I believe it's because of this. That Noah, who heard the voice of the Lord, then shared what God had said to his family. And his family responded. Noah said, listen, this is what God is saying. And I'm going to respond. He's saying, do this, and I'm going to do it. And I want to invite you, family, sons, and your family, I want to invite you to literally get on board. You know what I'm saying? Get on the boat. Get on board with me. Do you want to do this? This is what God is saying. And you know what? His son said, yes. Dad, we know that you hear the voice of God. We know that you spend time with him. We know that you walk with him. We know that you're righteous. We've watched your life. We've heard you talk about the Lord. We've heard you share his word before. We've watched you walk into it before. We know that what you're saying has got to be true because we know your life, Dad. You've shared it with us. You haven't kept us from it. You've been transparent with us. We've watched you, Dad. So if you're saying God says build it, we're on board. And those sons and their families got on board with their dad. And they too were rescued from the flood. I got to tell you what, that's my heart's desire. That my kids will be those kind of kids like Shem, Ham, and Japheth. That they would be those kind of kids that would say, you know what? My dad's a righteous man. My dad listens to God. I know he does. Because he talks to me about what God is saying. He shares with me what God is saying. He brings me along with him to do the exploits of the kingdom of God. He doesn't keep me from it. He doesn't treat me like a baby. He brings me along. That's my prayer, that my kids would be able to say that about me. And I would imagine every man in here and every woman in here, every parent in here, that would be your desire. We can live that way. No matter how old you are, no matter how old your kids are. We can live that way, like Noah, listening and responding, letting our family, our neighbors, our coworkers see it, and inviting them to come along with us, to join us. Parents, your faith matters. It matters to your entire family. I want to encourage you, don't take your role as a spiritual leader lightly. You set the tone. You set it. You provide a covering. And what you do today will truly affect generations to come. And parents, God's called you to glorify Him. And in Christ Jesus, because of His grace, because you are His children, because He is your shepherd, you have ears to hear Him. And He's inviting you to listen. And He's inviting you to respond. And He's inviting you to bring your family along. To not keep them in the dark, but share with your family, what is God saying today? What's God doing? And come on, guys, let's do this together. We're better together anyway, right? Let's do this together. Bring them along. Make our calling the family calling. Make your calling your whole family's calling. And so from Noah, we learn that faith listens to God, faith responds to God, and then that kind of faith is protected by God. Let's stand up. I want us to go back to that slide that we declared together. And after hearing this word from the Lord, if you're comfortable and you want to raise your hands to respond to this, raise your hands. But let's declare this together. Let's say together, Lord, teach me to live by faith. One more time. Lord, teach me to live by faith. And Lord, I ask that you would help each one of us in this room standing even right now. Every one of your sheep, every one of your children, God, that you would help us to walk into that place, into that position of listening to you, God. I know that's the key. That's what Noah shows us. You've declared it. You've opened up our eyes to it, that listening is so important. God, forgive us where we've just blown by you, where we've just talked and not listened. God, forgive us where we have not given the time to sit and know that you are God. God, help us pray your way. Help us listen. Thank you for giving us ears that can hear. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you would just in each one of us quicken a heart, a resolve to be those who will respond like Noah. We will jump. We will leap. Yes, we can't see the other side, but you're there. We know that you've gone before us, so we will jump, God. We will jump. We will jump into the big things. We trust you. You've got the whole world. You've got our lives, our present, our future, even our past. You've got it all in your hands. So like Noah, we're going to build. And we're going to enjoy you day in and day out, walking with you. Lord, I ask that you would even move on our hearts right now as we're going to move into a time of ministry, that if there are those things that we've been giving up on, that we will bring them back to you even today at the altar. And I just want to encourage you, church, that if there is anything you've given up on, that this morning is a time to turn it all back, to put the tools back in your hand, to go back to building, to go back to believing. Before you leave here, I want you to come up to the front. And I want to, between you and the Lord, I want you to say, I'm back. You can just tell him that, I'm back. Pour out your grace on me because I need it, God, but I'm back. I'm determining in my heart, my mind, and with my mouth right now that I'm back. I'm not going to quit anymore. I'm back. I'm in. I'm back. I'm back. And if you walked in this room and maybe you've never walked with God, but you're ready, you've heard his voice today, he's been drawing you to him, and you're ready to respond to him today, to respond to Jesus, to respond to salvation. Today is your day of responding. You're not here by accident. You're here because God is calling you. He's drawing you. He's speaking to you, and he's giving you this day to say yes to him, to say yes to his love, to say yes to his son, Jesus, to say yes to new life, to salvation today. And so we're going to have a lot of people coming up here at the end of the service. We're going to have prayer ministers up here at the front standing while others are coming up and kneeling. Today is a day to respond to salvation, to Jesus. And you can respond by coming up with everyone else and just sharing with one of those prayer ministers, I'm responding to Jesus today. They'll pray with you and you will walk into a whole new reality. Church, go be who you are today, all week long. Tell the world what you know and give them what you have. You're a child of God, a member of the royal priesthood, and you're a crazy, peculiar people because you've got the very presence of God dwelling within you and by God's grace and your willingness pouring out of you in changing the world that we live in. Let's go live that way, church. God bless.